You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention trust and will. Trust and will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
What's up, everybody? This is Full Draw Friday number 95, I think. We are going to talk about some off-season prep. So what do you need to do to start the off-season off right and be successful throughout the whole off-season? That's an important thing to be thinking about right now so you don't get behind the eight ball. Because we all know that filling your tag next year starts right now. If you want to do it, if you want to do that year over year, you got to be thinking about it all year long. Before we get into that, though, don't forget about our partners for Full Draw Friday. One of those is Rodney Hawkins over at Midwest Farm and Land and RG Outdoors. Midwest Farm and Land is a real estate company. They do residential stuff as well as a ton of recreational properties. I think he sold something like $11 million total last year. So you can get a hold of him for anything on that. Or RG Outdoors, if you're in Southern Illinois, especially he's located in Flora, you can look him up there on Facebook too. But his number is 618-925-3153 if you want to talk to him about any of that. Also, Rack's Big Game Supplements, you guys go over their new website, racksbiggame.com, and see everything they have to offer. You can also find your local dealers on the website. So, Austin, you've been working, trying to get stuff done for early off-season work before this snow comes.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of it coming, and you're already kicking it off with some off-season stuff, right?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of mulching and TSI work here lately. I've got quite a few of those projects kicking in right now. You know, it's a great time, actually, to do that kind of work. I personally prefer running a saw when it's not 90 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I'd rather bundle up a couple extra layers and you know, work in the winter for running a saw than I would run in the summer. And then too, you know, you're not dealing with any of the extra vegetation and you can see more what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to me in my opinion, to do this work this mm-hmm. time of year.
Which kind of is a first point. We got a few things we're going to go over here that we talked about before, but you mentioned, obviously, this time of year is really good for that. It's also really good for scouting, and we've done episodes on that before, so we're not going to dive too much into it, but you can just see so much right now, and that is going to help kind of, that's going to really help you prepare for everything we're going to talk about. But like when you're looking for early off-season scouting, so that winter scouting period, what are you looking for, and how does that apply, just quick synopsis, how does that apply to your plans for the upcoming season?
So I'm gathering intel on primary converging movement, potential bedding areas, funnels, and transition areas. So I'm taking a quick inventory on converging scrapes and community scrapes. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at signpost rubs. Typically, signpost rubs correlate with bedding areas, right? And then so you can go in to, you know, if you are hunt hill country, you've got benches, you got points, and different places you can get into for bedding areas. If you're hunting more of a river bottom property, which a property I was at today actually is a river bottom property, you know, very little terrain, mm-hmm. it's all vegetation, you know, and subtle edges amongst the vegetation and oxbows and, you know, river crossings and whatnot, things you get into in there where you kind of have to grid search in a manner to find those beds sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mark everything. Now is your time to grid search. Like this is the best time of year, especially if it's a new property. If it's a property you've hunted in the past, you've got all this intel on, really all you need to do is figure out if anything was fresh and what maybe was dry. You know, if you have a location that this year didn't produce anything, you know, but that here's a new spot that I've never found. I never thought of before. I never ventured over to. Mm-hmm. And just because you have time this year, you can just keep putting that puzzle together, you know, on a property. So it's a great time to find new locations and confirm known locations, basically.
Yep. And it's one of those deals too, where you can kind of make out the difference. You're talking about those scrapes and signpost rubs and stuff. Those are areas where likely those bucks are bedding in October and November, right? Versus you can also mm-hmm. see what's really fresh, where these deer do in late season. So you can kind of break it down a lot of times by the freshness of the sign or the area that it's in, and you can make those decisions. Okay, is this sign that I'm going to use for October, November next year, or is this sign I'm going to use for December, January? But either way, it's all good stuff to have, and that kind of leads into the first point that we're going to talk about here, and that's making notes of everything from your early off-season scouting and any ideas you've had throughout the season, because we talked about that before, taking notes during the season, but you're always out there looking for what I can do to improve, right? Writing all of that stuff down while it's fresh on your mind from the season. What movement did you see that you hadn't seen before? What were these deer doing that you didn't expect them to do? What did they do that you did expect them to do? Make notes on all that stuff, write it down, keep it in a place where you can get to easily, because it's going to help you make some decisions on some stuff that we're going to talk about a little bit later, and when it comes to deciding what you want to do with the property, right? So I think this is a big time, just while everything's fresh on your mind from the scouting that you're doing right now and from the season. And a lot of times, let's face it, during the season, we get so busy with actually the chase of that deer that we might have a thought every now and then, and maybe we jot it down on our phone, maybe we don't, but now you can go back and think about that, okay, and remember, instead of trying to do it 6 months from now, when you're likely to completely forget everything from the, not everything, but a lot of stuff from the season that would have been beneficial to you.
Yeah, it's those curiosity moments, you know, where hey, that was interesting, mm-hmm. but maybe you don't have time to go check it out, or maybe if you did check it out, you could potentially ruin your hunt, you know, for what you have set up on a deer. So it's those moments where like, that was that moment in October that you're like, that was interesting. Mm-hmm. And then you bank that, you go back to January, February, and you figure out, hey, you can dive into it now, figure it out, yep. Right? And something that's extremely important along the management side of things, we were talking about projects, is using the intel that you're gathering for the projects and designing your improvements around what they're already doing. You know what I mean? All you're doing is enhancing what they're already doing. If your goal is to try to force a deer to do something he doesn't want to do, typically he's not going to do it, no matter how sweet the improvement is.
Yep.
So you're just kind of stepping on your own toes, to be honest. If you were to just take the intel that they're telling you already, formulate a plan around what they're already doing, you're going to see a lot more immediate success, especially immediately.
Yes.
With your improvements and long-term improvements, because a lot of those movement patterns are established through generations.
Yep.
You know, there's multi-years that have gone into those specific movement patterns. They use them for a reason.
Yes.
They use a property a certain way for a specific reason, mm-hmm. you know.
It's definitely easier to move yourself towards the deer and sweeten that than it is to pull the deer all the way to you, or at the very least meet him halfway, right? Meet him somewhere kind of in the middle where you're close enough to draw him. Like I'm sure you've had this conversation with guys too on properties. You can maybe make a deer go, you know, 50, 60 yards out of the way that he wants to anyway on a regular occasion. And we're not talking about randomly chasing does or stuff, but you're likely not going to pull him all the way to the other side of a 40 or 80 acre piece. Right? It's just not mm-hmm. going to happen. He's not going to go 200 yards out of his way just to hit a little quarter acre clover plot if he wants to really be on that other side anyway, most of the time.
And especially if he doesn't feel comfortable and confident being on that side. Mm-hmm. You know, you could get the kind of thing where you have a sweet clover plot, but he still doesn't feel comfortable using it during daylight. Mm-hmm. So you pull him over there at night.
Yep.
Which, okay, you're getting somewhere. But at the same time, you're there to kill the deer and you can't kill them at night.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, so you, obviously there's, you know, your nutrition plots and your kill plots, two different
yeah.
two different strategies kind of in the same. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, like you said, if he prefers to use one side of the property, you might not be able to quite pull him over to that other side of the 40 acre piece if yep. he just doesn't want to do it.
Yep. So, and that's all stuff that make those notes on, and that way you'll know going into next year, okay, this buck I saw that I would like to chase next year prefers to be in this area. And another big thing, especially in ag country, make notes on what the ag crops were around you. And then mm-hmm. understand that next year they're probably going to be rotated. Most places are going to rotate corn to beans, but depending on where you're at, you might have some different crops out there. Just make notes on what's around you. And then, although that might not, you might not be able to plan for that next year, at least after a couple years, you're really going to start to see patterns within that. What are those crop rotations? Because usually it's a couple years because of the rotation. But if you're seeing consistently, okay, this buck likes to be closer to the corn, whichever side of my farm it's on. He likes to be closer to that area. That's where he's staying that particular year. So keep notes of that stuff too. But I think that's a big one just to start off with, getting all your thoughts together in one place. And kind of on that note is similar thing with your trail cameras. Trail camera data, not only for during the season, right, you're chasing the deer, is so huge year over year. We've talked about this before where that historical data from your trail cameras and from what you're seeing, so those are those notes too, but from your trail cameras comes in really handy when you're chasing the same buck year over year, which often happens when you're looking for a mature deer, right? Because you're trying to hunt them 4, 5, and 6 plus years old. So a lot of times that turns into a 2 or 3 year chase. So if you can build data on him year over year and figure out what he likes to do on those crop rotation years, or maybe it's a buck that you only get for a couple weeks every year, and it's always around the same time that he comes in. All that stuff you can figure out from your trail cameras, and it might even be that you didn't notice it when you were getting those pictures during the season. I've had that happen before where I will notice a trend post-season when I'm going through my actual pictures and organizing. Yeah. It may not even clicked while I was hunting because for whatever reason, maybe I was trying to go through too many pictures at once, you know, because that happens. You're focused on a specific deer and you miss this other one that's doing something pretty consistent. Or even a 3 or 4 year old deer that you're looking to hunt next year, maybe you weren't paying a lot of attention to what he was doing, but you go through now and you take all those pictures of that buck on different dates, different times, right? You don't have to keep everything, but put them in a file, organize them by date or location or both, and you can really start to figure out what those deer were doing, and you might even notice trends that you missed originally.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that historical data is golden, you know, and the only thing that will basically ruin that data is human intrusion, pressure, hunting pressure. You know what I mean? So if you're smart on your property, or, you know, even on public land, I've seen it where, 1 year this spot's just hot, you know, I'm hunting it for a couple of years, it's just hot, and then another year it's cold, there's nothing here, and it's because their hunting pressure moved into it, you know. So knowing that we are the reason a pattern will disappear really makes you pay more attention to your intrusion, and also you're by doing that you're hunting ahead of these deer. So if you know when those deer like to show up on your property or show up on a specific location, you can be set and ready. Like your trail camera's there 2 weeks ahead of time to a month ahead of time, your tree stand's already set. Mm-hmm. All you need is intel that they're there. You already know what conditions they like to use them on because you've established that over a year or two. Mm-hmm. So you already have that intel. All you need is to know there's a shooter in the area, or the buck you're after is there, mm-hmm. and then you just go in on the next hunt.
Yep.
The very next time you get those perfect conditions, you're in there.
Yeah.
And that's how you kill a buck on your first sit.
Yep, absolutely.
You know exactly what conditions they like to use in that spot, and then you connect that with immediate fresh intel that he's there on location. And then you go in on the next best conditions, whether it be the next day or next week. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be immediate. It doesn't have to be that kind of cell camera data where you get a picture and you immediately go go hunt. I'm just talking within the next week or two, the next time you get that perfect condition, wind direction, temp drop, whatever it might be, you go in for a hunt.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you made a good point in there too about that way you're not hunting behind them. Because if you're just hunting on your trail camera data from like right now, like it's, say it's October 25th and I got a picture of him, well, I missed him. Yeah, exactly. You're trying to predict where he's going to be next based on a picture you got from yesterday or last night, which can work for sure. But if you've got year over year data that this deer, and it doesn't even have to be a particular deer, it could just be mature deer in general. I've seen that before too, where I've got a certain property where it's not necessarily the same deer every year, but these mature bucks will use the property the same way year over year, different deer, because it's a lot of times mature bucks have their own individual personality, but some tendencies will still be the same because deer are deer, right? And so it could be one of those. And then you know, okay, these bucks generally move in the last week of October. If I get, like you're saying, those perfect conditions, I need to go in there. And then you are the camera, right? We talk about that all the time, trying to be the camera. That's how you do that. It's not just, sometimes it's just dumb luck and you go in on a good weather day. But if you want to do it consistently, if you can use that historical data, you can do that consistently because you know what they're doing and what they want to do, especially on the same deer, right? If he's living 2-3 years on you or around you, then it's, I've seen it time and time again where I've had the same deer in the same location, same general area, 2-3 years in a row, right there within the same date range, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, for whatever reason, they're creatures of a habit, and that's how it seems to work.
Yeah, and go back to the kind of last comment I made. Even if you can't use trail cameras, I've done.
You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about, but if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention Trust and Will. Trust and Will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
I've done this a lot on public through the years, is a fresh scrape. Mm-hmm. That's all you need. You know what I mean? So this time of year, you've already banked those community scrapes and those converging scrapes that, and the rubs that tend to be in location. Mm-hmm. You can go in there, check and see if that scrape's hot. If that scrape is hot, more than likely you've got either your buck is there that you've been hunting, or a mature buck is there that you just know this location produces.
Yep.
All you need is the sign to be fresh. And the moment that sign's fresh, you can pick a good condition day and go in for the hunt.
Yep. Yep.
And if you already know, like you said, if you already know basically when he likes to show up, just go sit in your stand. You don't even need the fresh sign or the trail camera data.
Exactly.
Just go sit that stand November 13th in.
Yep.
He walks by. I've had a spot in South Dakota I shot, that every year, November 13th, a shooter would go past that exact same spot.
Uh-huh.
No, without a doubt, it's crazy. If you would have sit that stand November 10th to the 15th, and if you had one day to choose, November 13th, basically it doesn't even matter what the weather was.
Yeah.
Just go sit that day, and you're pretty much going to have an encounter with a shooter.
Crazy. It's crazy.
It was actually
works.
Pretty cool to see.
Oh, yeah.
It really was.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that kind of takes me to the next one. So you've got your notes, you got your trail camera data, you put all those notes together. You can kind of build what you want to do off of that, right? And you've got all these ideas that you got. Now you need to, this is one of the biggest ones, I think, is prioritize what you want to get done. Make an actual physical list somewhere, prioritize it, and then get it done. So what do I need to get done? worse than anything else and put that at the top of the list. And then what's next after that? And then you can go through and, okay, if it's something, if my number one priority is adding a brassica plot on the south side of my property, okay, that maybe not the first thing you do, but you need to be prepared to do that more than anything else. Because you might also have on your list, let's say two down, that's something that needs to be done in January, frost seeding a clover plot or something, right? So it's not necessarily an order of how I need to get these done, but it's what's most important so you know what you need to focus on and save resources for, right? Because you don't want to go down, okay, well, I can't do any of my first three until July, August, and then run out of your budget on number 8, yeah. 9, and 10 in January and yeah. February, right? So prioritize what you want to do, put it on a physical list, and then that way you can plan ahead and say, okay, no matter what else happens, I want to get these three things done this year. And you'll be surprised how much more you will accomplish if you literally put it on a list and then just stay to that list. Because what happens a lot of times is I say, man, I need to do this, 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 and this. And then a couple months go by and you're like, what did I say I needed to do? Well, I remembered I needed to do this, so I'll go do that. And then you go do that, and it's already July, and then you go, well, I think I need to do that too. And next thing you know, it's late September, October, and you're sitting in the stand and you're like, oh, that's what I wanted to do this year. Because you see it again, or you see the deer doing something that was from last year. So write it down, make a list of priorities and get that done. I think that helps. That would help a bunch, a lot of people, of actually getting stuff done.
Oh, completely. Yeah. And you know, when I put a plan together, you got your immediate projects that need to be done, and then you've got your multi-year projects.
Yeah.
You know, the hey, if you've got the resources and the time to do this immediately, awesome, go for it. But does that need to be done right now to have an immediate impact on your property and on your hunt? And if the answer's no, like, that will be something that in long term will be very, very beneficial, but it won't have an immediate impact on your property and your hunt. It could be, it could go down the list to something you can work on, mm-hmm. you know, because timber stand work is one of those things that you could just keep working on it.
It's never
you
know, done.
It's never done.
Yep.
So you just keep, you get done with one thing and you look over, oh, there's more over there.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Yep. I've been working for 3 days. Great. You know,
right.
So it's one of those things, and hold yourself to that line too, because it also helps you from burnout.
Yeah.
Just like that. You don't want to burn yourself out on the stuff that's midway down your list before you even get to the timing
yeah.
of your top priorities.
Yeah, that's a big one too, for sure, because you can be real gung-ho when the off-season first starts, but then when it starts to get, you know, into the real hot days of the summer and mm-hmm. you got a lot of other things going on and deer season's as far away as it will be, as it will ever be, and you stop thinking about it as much, and then you're kind of like, well, I'm kind of tired of messing with this for now, and then you never get back to it because, like you said, you get burnt out or whatever. That's a big one for sure, and that'll help you keep your eye on what you actually need to get done. So the last thing I got kind of hit on is once you've got all that stuff set and you know what you need to get done, make a list for what you need to get that stuff done. So, okay, do I need 50 pounds of clover seed and this much fertilizer? And do I need 5 gallons of chemical? And do I need 3 days to do some timber stand work? Do I need to get something to kill brush with or hack and squirts, whatever it is, make those lists. And again, say, okay, I'm going to need this in February to frost seed my clover. I'm going to need this seed. Get that stuff ordered. That way, when it gets down to the first week of February or whenever you're wanting to get that done, let's say, and now you've ordered it, well, now it takes 4 weeks to get it because something happened and you've missed your window of when it's best to get it done. You don't want to be in that position.
Yeah.
Be proactive. Make your list. If you need to order it now, order it now. Then again, you can budget for your priorities so you're not spending all your budget early on because you thought you needed to get this stuff and get it in and get it done. And then you're also not behind when it comes time to get stuff done. Because, again, you get to the summer, you got other things going on, you quit thinking about it. Next thing you know, it's August, all the rain's gone, and you don't even have your seed ordered yet to do your fall food plots with, you know? So, or you don't have your fertilizer or anything like that. You don't have your soil test kits. Make sure you get those things ordered so you can do all that stuff. Just make a list of what you need, and same thing, prioritize it, line it up with your list of priorities on your projects, and then you're going to be ahead of the eight ball again instead of behind it.
It really drops stress. If you are prepared, it just takes all of that burnout and stress just right off the table. You know, because now you're ready. You know, you've got everything you need. All you're waiting for are the right conditions. You know, just like being set up in a specific location for a specific buck. You know what he's going to do, when he's going to do it, and as long as you're set up and ready for him, you basically can just go in for the hunt at that point, and you're not feeling like you're playing catch up, and you know you're stressed out because you miss the rain, and doesn't look like we're going to get rain for another month at best.
Right. And that's the other thing. You can kind of put a plan together for when you want to do this stuff, but next thing you know, the 10-day forecast comes out, and you're like, shoot, I need to have this stuff ready to go by Wednesday because that's when I'm going to get it in to get the rain. Yep. If you don't have it ordered, now you're trying to order it on Monday, and it gets here Friday, and you've missed your window. Like, I've made that mistake before working on other people's property. I'll get everything in for their stuff, and I push mine off to the back burner, and then it's like, well, I guess I'm going to miss that rain because I didn't get my stuff
that
ordered.
Window.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
The sooner you get all that stuff in line and get it, yeah, you're not stressing out about last minute trying to get whatever it is before you need to actually get it done. And that'll save you a lot of energy, a lot of, like you said, stress, which is a big thing because you don't want to be any more stressed out about it than you have to be, especially through the summertime.
Well, and remember, this is supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do this because we enjoy it.
Yep.
You know, so if we're always stressed out about it, it really kind of drops the fun level.
Yeah.
Right. It just throws that right out the window.
Yep.
You know, so that the more prepared we can be, the more likely we're going to enjoy what we're doing because we're not stressed out about it and rushing around, and then we can just enjoy what we're supposed to be enjoying.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So
and in my opinion, and I know we talked about this maybe in the last episode that we did, but this part of it is almost as much fun as actually shooting the buck and
absolutely
actually putting in the work and seeing the fruits of your labor when it comes to the deer. That's one of the most enjoyable parts, or should be.
Yeah, no, completely. I mean, that for me, the preparation has gotten to be almost more enjoyable than actually sitting on stand. It's just the anticipation. It's the building of the plan. It's figuring out what he likes to do and why and where, and it's just kind of evaluating everything and putting those puzzle pieces together is a lot of fun, and prepping everything and having the anticipation that leads into season.
Yeah. And like filming and stuff, I don't have throughout the summer and the off season, and when we're doing this kind of stuff, I don't have the pressure of like, hey, I need to go out and hunt today because I have to get video, right? And some days you just don't feel like going, but well, I gotta go because I need to get video. Throughout the off season, I can kind of go at my own pace on my stuff and be like, okay, I want to go get this done today. I'm going to enjoy it. It's a nice day outside. I can go get a burn done, or I can go broadcast some seed, or I can go do some spraying or some disking or whatever kind of work I need done, you know? And it's a little bit more slower paced, I guess, a little bit more pressure on what I'm actually getting done. So that part of it, I enjoy for sure as much as I do actually hunting and chasing them. And most of the time, it's not, you know, 25 degrees with the wind blowing and spitting snow while you're out there putting in food plots. It's usually at least decent. Sometimes it's pretty brutally hot, but, you know.
Yeah. It's so fun sitting in an open cab tractor running a tiller and just sitting in just this cloud of dust.
Yes.
In August. It's
90-degree
dust cloud.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like July 26th and it's 100 degrees outside and you're trying to get mowing done and Yeah, you're just getting attacked by bugs and pollen and everything else. Yeah, good times.
We question our choices sometimes. Sometimes.
But honestly, there is a little bit more instant gratification to this side of it too, and maybe that's part of it because
that's true.
And there's both sides of it. We talked about that, I think, probably before too. Like you have that long term gratification, which is honestly better because it's usually a bigger payout. It just takes a longer time to get there. But you get done mowing a 1 acre plot that's going to be a plot, and it went from this brushy woolly mess to this clean mowed spot that's going to be a food plot. And it's like, hey, that looks pretty good, and that only took me an hour to do, you know. So there's a little bit more instant payoff to the actual food plotting side, especially when you're talking about, you know, fall plots and stuff. I mean, in 3 weeks, you can see if you did a good job or not most of the time. If you got sure. rain.
Yeah. And you know, the timber work and, you know, running a mulcher, that kind of gets that instant gratification too. You get rid of all that low quality growth that's just in the way and keeping everything from growing. You can get rid of it and then come back in the summer, see how things are looking and then you see how the deer are adjusting to it, and gives you a little bit even more gratification also, because you're looking at it and I did that
exactly,
you know, and the deer are using it how I planned. That's cool.
Yep. So there's a lot of that goes into it too that I think makes it enjoyable. But overall, I think those are some things that will help some people get prepared for the off season, because again, we often think about this part of the year as preparing for season, but if you're not prepared for this time, then you're not going to get it done and you're going to suffer next year during season. So.
Oh yeah. And especially food plots coming up, that now is your time to get it done. If you have any kind of clearing that needs to be done, do it now. If you have, you know, pull your soil samples now so you know exactly what you need to have done. Mm-hmm. Don't think about this in the middle of April.
Right.
And you're like, oh, yeah, yep. I should probably figure that out.
I need to get that done.
Man, it takes 10 days for soil sample results to come back, you know, so wish I would have. And if you needed to spray, you know, prep. Any kind of prep work, the prep work doesn't happen immediately. Sometimes you need to start prepping that specific location a couple months in advance before you actually put seed in the ground.
Yep.
So,
plan ahead. Get ready and prepare yourself for success. Don't be trying to play catch up all summer and then go into the season wishing you would have got stuff done when you had the time to do it. So, I think that's a good place to leave it for tonight. I think we're about there on time. So unless you got anything else for the good of the people.
I'm good.
All right.
I think we hit.
Don't forget about Austin on Tactical Approach Outdoors, YouTube, social medias, the website's tacticalapproachoutdoors.com. You can follow him all those places. Check out what he's got going on. He's also still looking for some people that have a story to tell on their properties. So if you got a story about management success or failure or anything like that on your property through that journey, make sure and get a hold of him with that. Our website is ridgehunteroutdoors.com. We're Ridge Hunter Outdoors on Instagram and Facebook. You can follow us there for more. Don't forget, if you're on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, leave us a comment. What do you think? What are some things that we missed as far as preparations for the off season? What are you doing to get ready for the off season? What some projects you have going on? We'd love to hear it in the comments. Other than that, we will catch you guys on the next one.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.